Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, continuing our season preview team by team, all 30 teams around baseball to get you ready for the fantasy baseball season. We're going to talk Cleveland Guardians. We're going to go back to the Central Division here. And in order to break down the Guardians, we have a good friend of the show coming back on to help us get through some of these fun names and fantasy-relevant pitchers and hitters throughout Cleveland. You can find him on Twitter at Ryan Roof. His work over there at rotowire.com. He's the bullpen guru over there. Ryan, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing good. Thanks for having me back, Bubba.
Always a pleasure chatting with you. How's the preseason prep going for you? I know you've been a busy man.
Yeah, it's going great. Just diving deep as I can on a lot of players, trying to focus more kind of in the mid to back end of the drafts. But yeah, it's going well so far. Just picked up the 2023 edition of the process. Have my HQ forecaster, and at RotoWire we're definitely pumping out the articles. My first closer encounters of 2023 should be out by the end of this month. I'm thinking it'll be my initial closer rankings, so look for that in the coming weeks.
Beautiful. And he's doing a ton of podcasts for our buddy Robbie DiPietro, Deadpool Hitter Podcast. You can hear him over there as well. It's always great to get Roof on the mic and getting on the written content, so make sure you guys check him out for sure. Let's talk Cleveland Guardians. This is kind of your team, so this is why I had you on here. And we're going to start with the easiest one in the group, J-Ram. Jose Ramirez, just as probably as consistent as they come, especially for a first-round pick, third base. We know the trials and tribulations of the position. You can find depth if you want, but for the most part, pretty top-heavy position. And you got a five-category stud, which is hard to find at third base. So what do you got on Mr. Jose Ramirez for 2023?
Yeah, he's a stud. For the folks who are worried about his off-season thumb surgery, did a little digging into that a little bit more. He had repaired the ulnar collateral ligament in his thumb. Kind of found a 2018 study by the Orthopedic Journal of Sports Medicine regarding performance and return to sport for Major League Baseball players who have had this surgery, and doesn't seem too concerning from their findings. Most everyone, 100% of players were able to return pretty successfully. If you look back to 2017, Mike Trout, Carlos Correa had the same injury, and this occurred mid-season, and both returned, hit pretty well upon their return. So I think if anyone's hesitant about taking J-Ram first overall or within the top four or five picks of your draft, I think there's really nothing really too concerning there. And I'm pretty excited about him. I'm actually the shift ban is really going to help J-Ram. If you look at historically, the league really started shifting against Ramirez in 2018. And in the two seasons prior to that, he hit 312 and 318. So when you take a player who was shifted against in 94% of his plate appearances batting left-handed, and you kind of ban that, I really like his prospects for 2023 quite significantly. He's definitely the top third baseman on my board. I think he's my second overall player. Not much else to say about J-Ram. He's a stud.
Yeah, I've been taking him pretty much number one if I got that first pick. I'm a huge fan of what he does at the third base position. The fact that he could benefit from the shift just makes it even better if you get a 300-plus average out of him as well to go with the power and speed. Like, it's a weapon that he has out there, so it'll be pretty fun to see what he does this season, especially when he's healthy, which he really wasn't much of last year. So that'll be a big, big plus as well. Let's talk about a guy that J-Ram might be driving in quite a bit this season, and that is Stephen Kwan, who was like the talk of the town going into draft season last year. Everyone was all excited about him. He was good. Like, I think the expectations were too high on him. Doesn't really have the power that most, I think, we're hoping for, but definitely has the speed. Batting average tool is legit. And right now, you're not paying like a super premium on Kwan. You have an ADP of about 116. How do you look at Kwan for 2023?
I really like Kwan. He's been one of the guys I'm really kind of targeting at his ADP right now. You know, your podcast with Toby, he talks about his spreadsheet all the time. He's actually a little bit negative value on my spreadsheet, but I really like his prospects. Again, the shift band's only going to help his average even more. Our friend Kev, the roto surgeon on Twitter, posted recently Kwan against the shift. Or with the shift on, he had a 293 average, so still very successful against the shift, 290 BABIP. But without the shift, 361 batting average and 360 BABIP. So, you know, talking about somebody who's already, you know, at 300 or close to it, could be get a significant boost in the batting average department. And, you know, 20 steals, no power. He's one of the weakest contact hitters in baseball, but he does hit the ball. He is one of the best contact hitters, over 92% contact rate, gold glover. So he's going to be in the lineup every day, leading off right ahead of J-Ram. So score a ton of runs, just won't get the power. And he had more walks than strikeouts last year. So definitely can get on base and score a ton of runs, steal a bunch of bases.
Yeah, he's starting to become a little more in my target zone. I wasn't a big fan at first, but the more I've looked at, get my power elsewhere, and you can get this guy, will get you some speed, ton of runs scored, which I think we ignore a lot, and the batting average asset is just tremendous that he brings to the table. I don't see that stopping anytime soon, like you said, and he's going to be 26 this year, and you never know, maybe he starts tapping into a little more power as he gets older too. So there's a lot of plus. I wouldn't count on it. We haven't really seen it from him throughout his career, and even in the minors, but you never know. We've seen it happen for a lot of guys before. So he seems like he seems like he's got a solid floor with, you know, maybe more of a ceiling we haven't seen yet, which is very enticing with him.
Yeah, and if you look at his spray chart, a lot of his hits went the opposite way, which was I found really interesting. But maybe more of those hits now that there's no shift allowed, you know, come on the right side of the infield. We'll see. But he's been a guy I've been kind of jumping ahead of ADP. Yeah, I just like the profile, especially if I'm like targeting power early. You know, power was my weak point last year. I think it was for a lot of people. Yep. So if I'm getting like two bats, I just started a draft yesterday. If I start one with Vlad and Austin Riley, Kwan's going to be a guy I'm going to be targeting those, you know, round 8, 9, 10 to pick up some average and speed. So I think there's a lot to like there.
Yeah, he's definitely a roster construction build that you can make work in a big, big way. Now let's go to the shortstop position with Ahmed Rosario. And similar to Kwan, there's not a ton of power there, but speed, decent batting average. I think he kind of gets underplayed a lot. He's getting more hyped this year. His ADP is a lot higher than usual. But everyone's like kind of, I don't say clowns on him, but doesn't think he's that great, when in reality, I think he's pretty darn good. Especially in fantasy circles. I think it's just because shortstop's what shortstop is, and that makes it a little different. But how do you look at Ahmed Rosario heading into 2023?
I mean, I like him. I think he's going in a nice range. You know, doesn't have a ton of power. speed isn't elite, but still was able to steal 18 bases last year with a good average. I think with him, I would worry about potentially him dropping down the lineup a little bit. You know, Andrés Giménez is really good. Oscar Gonzalez showed he can hit the ball really well. You know, he hit second for the Guardians mostly last year, but if he does drop down, you know, that may, you know, impact his counting stats a little bit. But definitely like Rosario, 27 years old, should play 150 plus games. Definitely have no problems drafting him where he's going. But I do worry that he could fall the lineup.
Yep, definitely an accumulator because of the games he plays, but good point on the lineup situation because this Cleveland team on paper is looking really strong. I like how they've built this team, and there's a lot of strengths compared to what it felt like at one point in time. It's a pretty good look there for them, and one of the guys you just mentioned is Andrés Giménez, and you know, a couple of years ago, everyone was drafting him, and he kind of disappointed a bit, but this past year, just 17 homers, 20 steals, hit for a great average, very, very good, and it depends on who you talk to. Some are like, well, he's kind of overachieved. He's this isn't the guy he is. And other people are like, this is who he is. And he's very, very good. And I'm kind of on the this could be who he is department of things. I think he's young. He's finally tapping into the skills we all thought he had. But you pay much more attention to Cleveland than I do. So what's your thoughts on Giménez entering the season?
Yeah, I really like him. And again, similar to Rosario, for me, it comes down to where he hits in the lineup. Last year, he hit mostly sixth. Averaged 3.8 plate appearances per game. And imagine he'll probably hit sixth or maybe even seventh now that Josh Bell kind of comes in and is going to be a middle of the order bat for Cleveland. I think it depends where Oscar Gonzalez hits. Last year, Gonzalez was hitting fourth or fifth ahead of Giménez. And so if he's hitting sixth or seventh, I mean, last year he had Austin Hedges, Miles Straw right behind him, didn't help his counting stats at all. So from the run score department, which is, again, you said is underrated, it's probably not going to accumulate a ton of runs, but from, you know, a projection standpoint, he actually projects pretty similarly to Tommy Edman, a little bit more power, few less steals, less runs, without the multi-position eligibility, but otherwise, like right there, I think on my spreadsheet, they're back to back with Edmund going one pick or Edmund one pick ahead of Giménez. So I think he's a value where he's going right now. I wouldn't mind having him on my team. I think in our first draft, like our too early August draft, I took him, I think in round six. I think that's where his ADP has continued to be throughout these past few months.
Yeah, his ADP is around 86 right now. You mentioned Tommy Edman; he's 77. So if you have to like wait around or so, yeah, you could definitely get a solid option as well, and see where it takes you. I think it's going to be fun to see where he develops into this season, if he takes a step back or not, just because of the age. So could be a lot of fun with him.
Another thing to consider: he's also a Gold Glove defender. He won his first Gold Glove last year. Similar to Quine, he's going to be in the lineup most days. Hit really well against lefties last year too, over 300. And I think Zunino is an upgrade over Hedges.
Yeah, but, sadly you're right. Yeah.
So maybe he's a little bit better, in terms of the run scored, but, we'll see. Yeah. I like Giménez though, for sure.
One of the players you just mentioned, the Cleveland Guardians signed Josh Bell this season, and Bell's been, he's like every year a fun one to kind of break down in fantasy because we've seen these like power spikes. We've seen average, good season with the average, and it's just ups and downs with him. One thing he's done perennially, he walks a ton, doesn't strike out a ton, which is great. So the plate discipline pretty much stays in line. It's just kind of the quality of his contact. So he hits the ball on the ground a ton, but when he gets it going well. So how do you see Bell playing out here in Cleveland?
Yeah, like you said, you know, great walk and strikeout rates. Really like that. His max EV is above average, 83rd percentile. Struggled down the stretch last year because I had a lot of Josh Bell last year and he definitely scuffled with the trade to San Diego, but he comes to a park where, you know, it's one of the best parks for left-handed power. You know, Bell's obviously a switch hitter. So, it's a solid move. I think he'll, you know, driving plenty of runs, hitting before Jose Ramirez, and I like the signing. I was really glad because it feels like Bell's been on Cleveland's radar for a long time. I wonder if we tried like trading for him back when he was still with Pittsburgh. You know, back when he had 37 home runs in the happy fun ball year. Definitely don't think he's got that type of power, but I think we see him go back over 20 homers this year.
Nice. Yeah, because like you said, it is a great ballpark for left-handed power. So hopefully he can tap into that for sure. Another lefty that I'm a big fan of is Josh Naylor, who hit 20 home runs last year. You know, okay, pretty, you know, in today's world, decent batting average, all things considered. The signing of Josh Bell kind of brought some question marks into play, but Francona came right out and said, hey, I told him he's going to DH. He's going to play in the outfield. He's still going to play, but there are potential playing time risks now with Josh Bell there. So how do you evaluate a guy like Josh Naylor, who I really like as a later round target, but there are some questions here for sure.
Yeah, I love Naylor. He's actually one of the best fantasy values on my spreadsheet from the Guardians. Nice. So I'm targeting him as my corner infielder, and I would not, you know, be sad if he was my first baseman either. I tend to address the position much more a lot earlier than that though. So just love Bell. He's kind of like the heart and soul of the Guardians. Brings a lot of energy. Definitely fires everyone up. The fans, like, he's one of my favorites. I thought the you know, in the playoffs, the rock and the baby thing was kind of dumb, but he definitely has that high energy.
That emotion, you know, on his sleeve thing. He plays with it out there for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, he's gets to play with his brother, Bo. He's just a solid player. Now he does have that platoon risk, struggles against left-handed pitching, but doesn't strike out much, is able to draw a walk. And I would say he's probably in the lineup every day against right-handers. So I'd be shocked if he wasn't. But had that nice breakout year last year, 20 homers, hit 256, 122 games, just under 500 plate appearances. I would expect something similar to that. But the fact that he has so productive in his plate appearances is what is really appealing to me about Naylor.
Yeah, I'm a big fan with you on this one. You know, ADP around 219, he's not costing you a ton. You said he's a really solid corner infield option for you. I wouldn't, you know, want to go to battle with him at first base unless you, like you said, really kind of missed the boat on the position. But at corner infield, I think it's a very viable spot there. And, you know, there might be certain weeks where they face a lot of lefties and you have to kind of navigate around that. But more often than not, being on the strong side of that platoon, he's going to get most of the playing time week in and week out. So I'm with you on Josh Naylor as a very viable later round target. You've mentioned Oscar Gonzalez a few times. I'm a big Oscar Gonzalez fan. I picked him up off the wire everywhere I could last year, mainly because he's a great batting average asset, but I always believe in the power that some didn't believe he had because he showcased it in the minors from time to time. And it started popping out last year, and it was looking really, really good with Oscar Gonzalez. You know, you look at the overall profile, there still might be a few question marks in there with him. But what, like, he's not a big fly ball guy. That's the biggest concern, I guess. But he takes advantage of it when he does it. So what are your thoughts on Oscar Gonzalez? You mentioned he hit fourth at times last year. With this kind of enhanced offense, it could be farther down this year. So there are question marks. But what are your thoughts on Oscar?
Yeah, I think he's kind of that perfect fit for the Guardians, being a contact-heavy team versus, you know, a team that just hits the ball over the fence. Definitely a lot of contact. A lot of that goes on the ground. Doesn't have much plate discipline, doesn't really walk that often, but, you know, I would expect an average at least 270, 275 or higher. And again, it depends like where he slots into the lineup. He was pretty frequently in the heart of the order down the stretch. He was hitting about fifth for the Guardians, a little bit higher against left-handed pitching, even though his platoon's splits were a little bit better against right-handers. But, yeah, I think he's okay. I'm not going out of my way to target Gonzalez. I do have a share or two, but I'm not like targeting him pretty heavily. But when you compare him to the other outfielders going in his range, you know, he definitely has a little bit more power upside than guys like Alex Verdugo and Brandon Nimmo, Riley Green, things like that. So he's fine. Not a favorite of mine, but I'm okay with him.
Yeah. Let's talk about a guy that was last year's draft season's one of the most polarizing names on draft boards was Miles Straw. And the big reason for me is polarizing. You had to take him super early for a rabbit. And he only hit 221 last year, down from 271. Still stole you over 20 bags, which is nice. Probably going to hit at the bottom of the order this year. But his ADP is also outside of 400. So is there some fantasy interest in him? Or are we just kind of like, this is Miles Straw, like, tread lightly?
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I haven't landed on Straw yet, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. Reason being, he is projected to hit ninth. I think Stephen Kwan's very clearly the leadoff hitter due to his contact and OBP rates. But if you actually look at Straw, he's the second highest regular in Cleveland's lineup in terms of contact percentage at 89.1%. So he's hitting the ball. It's just the BABIP is where, you know, he kind of fell off last year. It was 261 last year, 336 in 2021, 345 in 2019. So, you know, if the BABIP's not there, he's obviously not going to hit for a very high average. So, lots of ground balls, second highest ground ball rate of his career last year, 47%. So he's not beating those out. I mean, he's going to have a lot of outs. Did do a lot better down the stretch last year. I'm looking kind of the last couple of weeks, or actually September overall as a whole, he hit 308 with six steals and 15 runs in 31 games. So definitely an improvement over what he did over the course of the season. Gold glove defense in center field. I think Cleveland really values that defense. I don't know. It's definitely, I think, team dependent, right? If you need steals that late in the draft, I think Straw is a very, very good target. Obviously, he's got the 30 stolen base upside, but just zero power. So that's kind of where I'm at with him.
Yeah, he's not a guy I've landed on yet, but I started looking. You know, you always try to find pockets of value at some point in the draft for statistics you need. And if you get a guy like Straw, maybe he gets that average back to like 250. Like I said, not even dolly to two say it's 250. Now he's on base more. He's going to steal more bags being on base, obviously. He's also at the bottom of the order, but then that flips over. Now you got those big dogs hitting right behind him to drive him in. Fewer at bats because of the bottom of the order. That's been well documented. But it seems like at pick 400 or so, it's just like, you know, I could, if I need steals, like you said, it's at least interesting now where I just had last year, I just completely crossed Miles Straw off my list. And I really wasn't thinking about him much this year. But after pick 400, it becomes a little more at least enticing. I'll say that much.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Well, you mentioned Bo Naylor earlier. You got Mike Zunino, who they signed. And we know who Mike Zunino is. Power bat, tons of swing and miss. Hopefully hits 200. Like, that's who Mike Zunino is. And I guess in deep, deep two-catcher leagues, there is still viability there. Like, I compared Cal Raleigh to a younger Mike Zunino, kind of, where you're getting similar players and you're drafting them a lot farther apart. But Bo Naylor is the guy everybody wants to talk about. This guy's the prospect. We were hoping he'd get the job out of camp, and he still, maybe he will. Maybe he takes it over from Mike Zunino. You never know. I doubt it, but he might. So what are your thoughts on Bo Naylor for 2023? Because this is a guy that's really close to having the job there in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, he's intriguing. You think about the guys, you think about Dalton Barcia last year, who is, you know, a pretty popular target for his ability to steal double digit bases, and Naylor's got that same upside. Hit 21 homers and had 20 steals between double and triple A last year. So, you know, that's appealing, but I think his ADP is a little bit high right now. I don't know, because he struck out 26% of the time at AAA, and last year he struck out, I mean, it was a very small sample, only 8 plate appearances, 8 at-bats, but he struck out 5 times. So worry about the batting average and the strikeout rate at the big league level. Mike Zunino's defense is much better than Naylor's, so I expect Zunino to be the regular. Even if Naylor's like hitting the cover off the ball, I think the Guardians are a team that just value defense. They had 4 Gold Glovers last year, so I think Zunino probably gets most of the starts behind the plate. And I do wonder kind of who they pair Naylor with on the pitching side. You know, if there's a particular starter that they kind of sync him up with, you know, for every turn, but. He's fine. ADP 352. I'm looking kind of at other positions there. But there's definitely some upside, and I can see there's a case for taking the shot, but there's some drawbacks as well.
No, and it makes a lot of sense. The swing and miss, it's one of those things like James Anderson and other prospect guys talk about, is they have it in the minors, probably going to have it, if not worse, in the bigs. It's one of those things that doesn't just go away right away. So would be interesting to see how that transitions over. It'll be fun to see, though, because he is like a little, you look at projections and what he's done in the minors, there is a little mini Dalton Varsho there, which is kind of fun to see for the fancy side of things. Any other hitters that have interest to you? Like, we didn't really say much about Mike Zunino, but is there anybody else fantasy wise that sits is irrelevant to you right now?
Yeah, I'm very interested in Zunino, his ADP. I mean, he's going like over 100 picks after Naylor, and I like that a lot. post round 30 in 15 teamers. So Zunino, somebody I'm targeting pretty heavily as my catcher too right now. And another guy I really like is Will Brennan. Similar ADP, about 450, which is about round 30. Kind of a, you know, fifth or sixth outfielder type. He's definitely the Guardians' fourth outfielder right now, but I expect him to get plenty of run. Good approach at the plate. Doesn't strike out a ton. Makes plenty of contact. Got power and speed. So I really like Will Brennan. It's kind of a little bit of a sleeper. And like you said, Straw, like at his ADP, like if you're desperate for steals, I'm not opposed to that at all. Just because defensively he's just so good. He had 13 outs above average last season, according to StatCast. So I think when you're that strong defensively, you know, as bad as a, even if you're terrible at the plate like he was last year, I think you're still going to get plenty of opportunity. So, yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah,
it's an interesting team. I like a lot of the hitters on the hitting side for sure.
Yeah, no, it's a very, very fantasy viable team, that's for sure. And you mentioned the defense, and it makes sense to have a good defense or want to have a good defense when you have a pitching staff like Cleveland has put together. It's a pretty fun, young pitching staff for the most part. And we'll start off with Sticks, Tristan McKenzie. Depends on where you look on Twitter. Some people are calling him like, you know, the next breakout guy that's going to enter the top 10 starting pitchers and all these things, and very possible. My biggest concern with him is the jump in innings last year from 120 to like 190. That's a healthy jump for a guy of his stature. Not saying it's not doable. It's just a healthy jump. What are your thoughts on Tristan McKenzie, who is, from all things on the table, pretty darn good? Seems like he needs the innings to rack up the strikeouts, but was very, very strong last year.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about McKenzie, but you mentioned the jump in innings. He did have durability concerns prior to last season too, and he is nicknamed Sticks for a reason. He's just so skinny, and you know, they list him 6'5", 175, but I wonder how much he actually weighs, because I doubt it's 175.
No, there's no way. No way. Maybe soaking wet, as they say, but I don't.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, McKenzie definitely broke out last year, 0.95 whip, cut his walk rate in half from 11.7% in 2021 to 5.9% last year. Really good. A lot of homers would be the one thing, you know, I'm a little concerned about. Did outperform his pitching metrics. He had a 2.96 ERA, 3.59 FIP, so maybe a little bit more realistic mid-threes high threes ERA. Yeah, if he stays healthy, I mean, he's just a solid guy. Now, my spreadsheet, he's a negative value. I have drafted him. I'm not like not drafting him, because I do think there's upside there, but he does grade out a little bit negatively for me. So I'm probably not going to get a ton of him, but can definitely see the appeal. Definitely a likable kid. So easy to root for. I love his, just watching him pitch, just some nasty stuff. I think he's got some of those games where, you know, he's got the 14 strikeout games in him. I mean, we saw it several times last year. He has three games over 12 strikeouts. And in those games where he's on, he's just absolutely dominant. Sticks is fine. You know, he's not even like a huge negative value for me on my spreadsheet. He's not one of my favorite picks at his current ADP. So
that's probably one of the biggest things for me, is that current ADP comment, because you know, you got like Framber Valdez right in front of him. You got guys like Robbie Ray going right after him. We kind of know the innings we get with these guys. We know the strikeouts we get. We know what we get with those guys, where that jump in innings just terrifies me. And I'm not saying he can't do it, but it's a massive concern. Like, more often than not, it doesn't end well for a young guy doing it the first time. Like, we're going to talk about a guy next that made a big jump, but he's done this before. So I'm just kind of concerned a bit there. I hope I'm wrong. Like you said, he's fun to root for. He's fun to watch. But
I was looking at his to find out what his injuries were in the past. I think he had some forearm issues in the past, and I think it was back. I think he had back issues like while he was still in the minors. So when you think about that, it's a little scary. But yeah, let's hope he stays healthy, because when he's healthy, he's fun to watch.
No doubt about it. Let's go to the ace of the staff, though, and that is Shane Bieber, who after an injury-riddled 2021 came back 31 starts, 200 innings. Ratios, once again, were outstanding from the Biebs. I don't have much to complain about with Shane Bieber. He looked like the dude again. He did it kind of quietly, it felt like. Everyone is kind of ignoring what he's doing, and you look at the stat line at the end, and it's as reliable as it comes. And I think people still don't realize it just based on his ADP, because there's a bunch of guys going in front of him that didn't do what he did last year. So I think he's a really strong option. He's going right next to Luis Castillo, who I have a soft spot for. But I'm really liking what I saw from Shane Bieber. What do you think for 2023?
Yeah, I think he proved that. So a lot of people were concerned about, you know, the velocity, only averaging 91 miles an hour on his fastball, but he proved he can still make it work. He's got you know, a pretty vast arsenal: fastball, slider, curve, cutter, change. So I think he was able to kind of deploy those pretty effectively, and I think he's perfectly fine where he's going right now in drafts. I have him as my 11th starting pitcher, right back to back with Luis Castillo, who you mentioned. So I think it just depends, like, who, you know, if you want a little bit more strikeout upside, probably go with Castillo. You know, not to say Bieber's, you know, a bad strikeout pitcher, but he did strikeout rate did dip a little bit last year from 33% 2021 to 25% last year, but still very good at limiting walks. Only 4.6% walk rate, so he'll be up there and among the leaders of K minus walk percentage among starters, and you know, great ratios. So a lot to like about Bieber.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now it gets a little more fun. We'll start with Aaron Civale here, who, you know, he still made 20 starts last year, which surprises me based on his innings pitch. But that's because some starts were just really bad. Some starts were like, okay, there's Aaron Civale again. There he is. It was a really weird season to try to figure out who he was. When you look at his strikeouts, best K per nine he's had in his career. So it was an up and down year with him, and a guy that, like yourself, that has followed Cleveland. What are you seeing, or is there any interest in a guy like Civale who's going around ADP 300 or so right now?
I mean, a little bit. It depends on, like, the staff I've built before, like, where he's going in drafts. Like, if I have some injury risks already, I'm probably avoiding Civale. I mean, just, you know, the variety of injuries, glute, wrist, forearm last year. You know, there's definitely some appeal with Civale, low whip is something that's a little appealing about him. Below 120 in three of his four big league seasons, has given up some homers. Had the best swing and strike rate of his career last year at 10.6%. You know, nothing too crazy, but I think it's just depends on the other pitchers I have and whether I'm willing to take that injury risk. But I think he's appealing a little bit. Going, because he doesn't walk many guys, so.
Which is huge, especially for a guy who gets home runs. You want to limit the damage of those home runs. He's so confusing because he puts those amazing starts together and then he throws a dud out there and he's almost streamable. But at the same time, you know, it depends. 15 team, he's probably rosterable. So
for sure,
it's definitely a scenario there. Let's go to Cal Quantrill, and he's got an ADP of 325 because no one respects the man. No one does. I've been team Cal Quantrill for a while. People go, oh, he doesn't strike guys out. I said, I know he doesn't. But where I'm drafting him, I'm getting amazing ratios. I'm getting a guy that racks up wins because he goes deep into games. I love what I see from Cal Quantrill. Obviously, I'm kind of like ignoring probably some of the clear concerns with Cal Quantrill as well. But what are your thoughts on Quantrill, especially at an ADP of 325?
I'm glad there's another team Quantrill guy.
Oh, I've been there for years, and people tell me I'm crazy. Like, I've rostered him everywhere.
Yeah, I even liked him when he was a prospect of San Diego, coming up their system. I remember, you know, he was pretty high up on the prospect rankings a long time ago. Finally has settled into, you know, a starting role for a big league club in his fourth year. Really broke out last year, 186 in the third innings, got 15 wins, decent ratios, wasn't nothing too concerning there. Did outperform his FIP and xFIP, but doesn't strike too many batters out, but he's not walking anyone, lots of ground balls. I think for me, like in the NFBC Gladiator drafts, he was kind of a big final round target for me, or last few rounds, just because I think the innings will be stable. I don't think he'll kill you in ratios at all. And I think, you know, he has potential for 10, 12 wins for sure on such a good club. So, yeah, I love, I'm right there with you. I love Quantrill where he's at.
Yeah. And another underrated thing that people might forget with him is, like, if you do points leagues or underdog where they value the quality start, he racks those up as well. He gets you quality starts, then he gets you the win on top of it. And for those points type formats where you can get negative points for certain things, he avoids that with his ratios. So the lack of strikeouts definitely gets kind of overmatched by the quality of his just starts in general. So I think he's a guy that needs to get a little more love out there, or just leave him for us. That's fine too. Whatever you prefer.
Yeah, I think he's like kind of the perfect pairing for a staff that you like lead off with guys like C, Strider, you know, the strikeout guys. Because,
100%.
You know, he's the good complement to like those is like an SP5-6.
He's a poor man's Kyle Hendricks.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, doesn't really boost your strikeouts at all, but he limits the hard contact and he doesn't walk many guys. So I like him.
I didn't have Zach Plesac on the list, 'cause I just don't think he's very good. Am I missing something? I'm gonna give you the floor, because being a guy that from Cleveland and or the Cleveland area, is Plesac worth it or not?
No, I don't think we need to talk about him at all.
Okay, perfect. I left him off for a reason. I just wanted to give you the chance.
He's an idiot, so I don't want to talk about
moron. Moron. Yeah. Good. We're on the same page on that one too. Let's go to the bullpen, and this is your forte. And if those missed out on it about a month or so ago, Ryan and I went through all 30 bullpens in baseball. Obviously, there's things that'll change throughout the offseason, but you can catch up on that. But let's just talk Cleveland. And we know one of the top two closers off the board in every draft is Emmanuel Clase. Don't think we have a lot to worry about there. He seems like the dude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the dude. I think he's one of the safest closers in baseball. And he's just so hard to square up on. I wish the strikeout rate was a little better, but he's just so good in ratios, high ground ball percentage, and probably the favorite to lead the league in saves again. Yep. He'll be, not sure if he'll be my number one overall closer, but he'll be first or second for sure.
Yeah, it's him and Diaz, and it's like I say with like Burns and Colts, like I'm not going to argue who you have at one and two. Like you could, yeah. There's a safe argument for either one of them, and I will never tell you you're wrong between the two. Just take who you like.
I just can't believe he got better last year.
He got better. Like he got filthier is what it was.
Yeah, it's just the 0.73 whip. I mean, what more can you ask for?
Like that was just... his biggest concern was his control. Like he was walking guys and kind of getting in trouble, and then he kind of, as a young guy, would have to come into the zone and stuff. And yeah, it's nasty. Nasty stuff right there. So we'll see where that plays out.
He went his last 14 and a third without walking anyone. Struck out 18.
That's impressive. Impressive. Yeah. Hard to do, especially for closers with that kind of movement. Hard to do. Any other relievers to keep on our radar? God forbid something happens to Class A in Cleveland.
Yeah, there's several guys I like from the Guardians bullpen, especially draft and hold leagues, deeper AL-only leagues for ratio support. If you play in holds leagues, there's a quartet of relievers I really, really like. Trevor Stephan emerged last year as a solid kind of backup to Class A. I think maybe he's even overtaken James Karinchak for kind of the backup role, closer role. I'm not quite sure about that yet. Just because Karinchak's walk rate's a little bit more concerning. I think he kind of fits more seventh inning role than kind of the backup closer. But we've obviously seen Karinchak save games before. He was the co-closer with Class A in 2021. Really dominant first half of that year. Was really surprised to see him come back and be just as dominant last year, which is really good to see. Really limited the long ball too. Only gave up two homers last year. So Karinchak's really good for his strikeout rate. A little bit concerning on his whip though, with just due to the walks. But Stefan's really good. I really, really like Sam Hentges. I tweeted about him a long time ago. He had one of the better second halves among relievers in baseball last season. I don't know if he's going to, because he was a starter previously, kind of the back end of the Guardians rotation. You mentioned Plesac, Quantrill, as much as we like Quantrill, Savale, those three, not the strongest back half of a rotation, but the second half last year, Hench's 29 two thirds, 36 to 5 K to walk ratio, 0.30 ERA, 0.57 whip. I mean, he only gave up one earned run, so it's just dominant. And he's one of the guys I'm targeting heavily in draft champions formats, and even the NFBC 50s draft and hold, same thing, but 12 teamers. So really like Sanchez, and I wouldn't forget about Eniel De Los Santos either. He probably not for NFBC 50s, but for DCs as a round 50 spec. He was really, really good last year. He had a 1.07 whip, 53 and a third innings with 61 strikeouts, had five wins, did have one save, three holds. Like to see him kind of get more high leverage opportunities this season. So we'll see if last season's success kind of affords him those opportunities in 2023. But he's someone I would potentially monitor as a round 50 kind of spec.
Nice. Yeah, Cleveland's put this team together so well. Like the line has gotten strong. Starting pitching is what it is. Like it's really good. And then that bullpen's been nasty. Even like last year, you guys, that's what helped, a big reason you guys got to the postseason. Like it just, if for some reason, most of your pitchers do go deep, but if like you have your Savali or your Plesac blow up, the bullpen can like stop the bleeding and keep you in games. It's a very, very good bullpen. So,
and that was their biggest question mark heading into last season. It was their bullpen. Like I really questioned who they would have behind Class A, with Karinchak having that terrible second half in 2021, and several guys like really, really stepped up for them. So, Eli Morgan is another guy, kind of the hybrid, multi-inning reliever, who's not really on my draft radar, but did do solid. And then Cody Morris could be
That's a name I'm curious about for sure.
Yeah. Morris was somebody I was big on last year. I think hopefully he makes it to the rotation, but I see him kind of being that long reliever to kind of start the year, and maybe eventually he makes his way into the rotation, especially if,
Plesak.
Yeah. It just is terrible again. And Savali gets hurt. Yep. Definitely a lot of upside there with Cody Morris. I think of the prospects they have, he's 95th on James Anderson's top 400 prospects list at RotoWire. And I think the opportunity will be there for him. So like Morris,
what about Pilkington?
Pilk. Pilkington's
I think
not somebody I'm really drafting, but a good story. Yeah. With him. If you look at kind of like some of their other prospects, which we'll kind of just segue right into that. 17 players made their big league debut with the Guardians last season. And
so kind of limits your prospects for this season.
Yeah. They had, they had some studs too between Stephen Kwan, Oscar Gonzalez. So I don't think we'll nearly see as much, rookie impact in 2023, but, of the ones that, I do expect to have some fantasy relevance. Bo Naylor would be one. Will Brennan, who we talked about a bit. Cody Morris. Gabriel Arias as a utility infielder. And really, I think from a prospect perspective, Cleveland's kind of heralded for their arms. They always have been, kind of the pitching factory. So Gavin Williams, Daniel Espino are kind of the coveted pitching prospects for Cleveland, but don't think Espino's ready yet. Gavin Williams might make his debut in 2023. So he might be an option kind of later in drafts. And I think two guys who were added to the 40-man recently, one is a starter, Joey Cantillo. He's James Anderson's 19th ranked prospect within the Guardians organization, 333rd overall. He struck out 87 over 60 and two thirds at Double A last year with a 110 whip. So that's pretty appealing. And he's a left-handed starter. So that's good. We don't have, any lefties projected for the rotation right now, except for Pilkington, who's not even really in the rotation right now. And then another bullpen lefty, 26-year-old Tim Herron. He struck out 101 over 69 and a third between Double A and Triple A last year. So the fact that both guys were, Cantillo and Herron, were added to the 40-man, could see them, making an impact. But not sure from, a fantasy perspective, NFBC leagues, either are on the radar for a huge impact. But the deeper dynasty leagues that don't often get talked about as much on fantasy baseball podcasts. There's a niche for those types of leagues, I think those guys, Cantillo, Herron, Gabriel Arias, are guys that are certainly on prospect radars. So
nice. Good names to throw out there. Cause there are, I get people that say it like AL only dynasty formats. They like hearing those names because at least if they do get called up, it makes a lot more sense and they can know what to do with it. So that pays off nicely. And I love the Cody Morris shot because he is a guy I've been getting late with late darts because I remember what he did this past season. I think he will get a run at some point this year, like you said. So I'd be willing to take some chances on some Cody Morris late in drafts and draft and hold formats, I should say, to see where things go on that one.
Yeah, just because of the opportunity. I mean, I think just even Cleveland's past the point of dealing with Plesak and, just his inconsistency. And, so I think that when it comes to opportunity, as he's kind of next in line behind Pilkington to be, overtake one of those back end rotation spots. So, but let him build up first. I can't remember how many, most innings he's pitched in a season looks like 89. So that's a little concerning. But
maybe like 130 this year if you get lucky type thing.
I wouldn't even expect that. But
hopefully they don't have a need to rush him because he has that stable of pitching already. You can kind of
hope for
2024. Right. Where like get him to like 120 this year, then maybe next year you're talking 150, 160. Now you got something going. Maybe.
Yeah, let him go an inning, you know, every couple of days in the beginning of the season, and then build him up to a couple more innings midseason, and then by the end of the season, second half, he's ready to join the rotation. So
yeah, works for me. Sounds like a plan. It's just about the time to tell Plesac to bye-bye. So it works out pretty well. We'll wrap it up there. Awesome, awesome breakdown of the Cleveland Guardians. A lot of really good stuff. And this team, you know, between them and the White Sox is going to be a fun battle this year. Like the Twins always find a way to kind of hang around, but and you never know with the Royals. But the White Sox and the Guardians should be a fun battle for the division, at least in my mind. But it should be pretty good. Before we head on out, though, once again, remind everybody where they can find you and all the great work you got going on.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Ryan Roof, R-U-F-E's last name. Happy to engage with anyone on there. And then my work's at rotowire.com, rotowire.com/try for free trial. A lot of baseball content going up right now. And like I said, my initial closer rankings should be up pretty soon. So excited to release those and get my closers that I'm fading and targeting out there. And I've already talked a lot about that on podcasts this offseason, but really put pen to paper and kind of back it up, you know, in written form and show everyone who I'm expecting to kind of lead the league in saves and whatnot. So I'll have projected save totals on there too.
Nice. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Ryan always puts out great work, podcasting or written content, of course. Great fantasy player. So always a pleasure having you join me, my friend.
Yeah, always a pleasure joining you. Thanks for having me on again. And thanks to all your listeners, you know, for tuning into this great podcast. A lot of listen to your previews with Ben Tidd and Mendelsohn and just great work by everyone. Joe Rico, I listen to all three. So appreciate you putting the time in.
I appreciate it. Yeah, there'll be many more to come. We'll get all 30 teams covered eventually throughout baseball, and it'll be fun. Hopefully it helps people out, and it's thanks to people like you that help make it happen. So make sure you check out Ryan on the Twitter there at Ryan Roof, R-U-F-E. Great follow, great content as always. This was Bench to Bubba, your Cleveland Guardians season preview. Catch you guys next time.
Way to win up to 25 times your money this football season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of statistics, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and an enormous selection of players and stat options are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/get100 and use code GET100. That's code GET100 at prizepicks.com/get100 for a first deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks, daily fantasy sports made easy.